I am a solutions architect with Diligenet in Australia, and to my left is...
Peter Daalmans from IT Concern in the Netherlands, and I'm a senior technical consultant.
And Peter has come a very long way to be here. It's your first Tech Ed New Zealand,
yep.
I think, so everyone make him very, very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
He's already done his first Tech Ed Australia, which was his first time presenting in English as well.
Will be my second time in this.
Now, second time, but now you're experienced, so yep. That's fine. All right, so hopefully. What we want to go through today are essentially the ways in which Configuration Manager can be used to sit in the middle of the data center and distribute applications to exactly where they need to be, to who needs to get them on pretty much any device, with a specific focus for VDI. Now, VDI is one of those things that a lot of companies are not going down, not too sure about how's it going to work. We're not here to spruik one particular VDI solution over another, but what we are here to show you is how you can achieve application mobility between thick client, RDS, VDI, whether it's Servo 2012 or whether it's Citrix Xen. We're going to use SCCM to handle all of that with some pretty cool demos. We have a lot of kit up here, most of which works. So we should have a good show for you this morning. Now, quick show of hands, who here is already using Config Manager 2012? Yeah, about half the room, okay. Any familiarity with 2007? Yeah, okay. So when I say Config Manager app model, who does not know what I'm talking about? Okay, there's a few of you, no problem. Well, I did a level 400 on this last year, so let me try and condense that into 1 minute. What the application model in Configuration Manager 2012 does is that it gives you the ability now to target your applications to your users rather than just to devices. This is achieved by users and devices within SCCM 2012 now being equivalent. You obviously can't deploy an agent to a user. That would be a violation of their personal space and probably human rights. It's coming, though. We are going to be able to do it. But what that means is that Config Manager 2012 has the smarts within its new application model to give you proper lifecycle management of your applications from the moment you deploy them to the moment you remove them. And more importantly than that, it's smart enough so that you as the administrator say, I want to deploy this application, say it's Microsoft Visio, and SCCM will work out what is the best way to do that. Should I give it an App V version? Should I give it an MSI version? I can work all that out on the fly. And it does that using deployment types. A deployment type is simply a mechanism to get an application out to a user. MSI, App V, XenApp, lots of versions. We can also then have dependencies. Maybe I'm going to install an application, it's an MSI, that then depends upon some other stuff, maybe Visual C engines. Again, SCCM is smart enough. You don't need to do all the work first and say, right, I need to make sure I've installed Visual C and that version there and that version there. Now I can actually install my application. SCCM is smart enough to say, all right, this one that you're interested in needs all of these other bits first. I'll just go and sort those out. Requirements. So again, it's smart enough to say, I'm going to deploy an application, but it can only be installed to machines which are running Windows 7 64-bit or later. Now, normally, you would have to maybe do some WMI scripting. The intelligence for that decision would have to come from you. Now, SCCM can do that for you. A detection method. So if you've got a familiarity with SCCM 2007, if you deploy an application and it returns an exit code that it knows about, it goes, yep, we're good, no problem. We may not be good, but as far as SCCM is concerned, no, we are good. So if there's a problem, you need to go and fix it up. In 2012, it then has a detection method. So it goes further and says, all right, if this has been installed properly, I should see something. I should see an MSI code. I should see a registry entry. I should see a file type. I should see a file with this particular time and date stamp. I should see a service. It's now up and operational. And you can use as many of those as you need so that SCCM will go and verify, yes, that application was installed. And finally, supersedence. This is your application lifecycle management stuff. So this is where you say, oh, look, there's a new version of Java. I'm sure I only did this 10 minutes ago. Yes, you probably did. But what we can now do is deploy that new version of Java and say, right, you supersede this version of Java. So when you find it, uninstall it, and then install yourself. Okay, so you get proper lifecycle management. Now, that can be very, very useful for applications, say, Firefox is another one. We're up to, I think, version 23, which is a startling pace. So being able to properly do application lifecycle management is a critical part of being able to do proper application management and mobility. The way that the app model workflow actually works, let's say I've got my user and I've requested Adobe Reader. I've got all these potential deployment types. We can now deploy to OS X, iOS. We've got various versions of App V. SCCM has come a long way and we've got a lot of options. It's going to take a look at what hardware am I actually running. These are my requirements. Maybe I only want to install on a device that has at least 2 gig of RAM or more, or maybe it's got to have a certain amount of free hard drive space. I can check all those things. Beyond that, what information about my user perhaps is interesting? They're going to need to be in a particular OU. I can have SCCM check that. Maybe the machine must be in a particular OU. So rather than then having to leverage AD directly so that you do an application via AD, via group policy, you can simply bring all that information into Config Manager and have it do the work for you. So I'm going to say, all right, if it's a laptop and it's got less than 512 meg of RAM, you can tell this is an older slide, then deliver Adobe Reader to my user using Zenapp, because I know it doesn't have the resources to actually run, drop down, install an MSI. But maybe if it's a laptop and it's got more than 40 gig, then drop it down using AppV. It's going to work all that out on the fly, but the actual deployment is the same one. All you need to do is say, deploy Adobe Reader. SCCM will do the rest. We can also do what's called a primary device. So this is where our equivalence between a device and a user comes into play. SCCM can now understand a relationship between a user and a device. I'll show you why that's so critical. But let's say, who actually deploys targets, applications to your users rather than to your machines? Couple? Who does the other way around, to the devices? It's a bit more common. The main reason being is that if you target it to the users, if you are in an environment where your users can potentially log on anywhere, they then have that software application following them around. If that's an MSI and it's something like Project, which has a particular per installation cost, then you're now, when the Microsoft auditor comes knocking, you might be in a whole world of hurt. What SCCM can do is say, okay, I want you to have the MSI. You've asked for it. It's been approved. That's okay. But only if you are logged onto the machine which is allocated to you, then you get the MSI. If you go somewhere else, you can still have access to that application, but it won't be an MSI because I don't want that following you around. So we have the understanding, users logged on. Are you on your primary machine? Yes, you are. Good. You get an MSI. So let's actually take a look at that in action. Where's my system? Boom. All right. Cool. So here I am logged on to a workstation of which I'm a primary user. I can tell that I'm a primary user because if I go into Configuration Manager 2012, and I find the object, and I edit parameter users. There I am. Can everyone see that? That's me in there. Now, you can see that that is both, it's defined by me as the administrator, and it's also defined by the usage. So SCCM is actually keeping track of how long and how often I'm logging onto this machine, and it's saying you're obviously a primary user. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fire up my application catalog, which I have actually already done. That's all right. I'll do it again. And I'm going to say, you know what? I want Firefox, please. No problem. Do you want to install it? Yes, I do. It's going to evaluate the necessary requirements. And then it's going to do an instant wake-up call onto the local agent. So if anyone's got experience with the CCM 2007, where user rings up and says, hey, I want an application, and you go, yep, no problem, I'll add you into the AD group, and at some point in the next week, they will get that application. Using the self-service model, it's pretty much instantaneous, because the user sees what applications have been made available to them, they request it, and then it sends an instant wake-up call to the agent. It says, hey, policy change, go and update now. If I fire up my software center, now I can see that Firefox is available. Okay, it's already installed. But specifically, because I'm a primary user of this machine, if I jump into Control Panel, see I've got Firefox there, if I jump into Control Panel and go into Programs and Features, it is actually installed. So it's a genuine MSI, it's been installed, there are local files, everything's good. Now, let's say I am not logged on to my primary machine. I am, in fact, logged on to my Surface, this one here. So here we go, just to prove it is actually Surface. Aren't you glad you came? We can do that all morning. Now, what I've done here is it's not only is it a Surface, it's a Surface RT. Okay, so I can't go and install the MSI version of Firefox onto this even if I wanted to. What I do have here, however, is a link. You can see it there. You've got Windows 8 VDI. So what I've got is the ability to open up a VDI session onto Server 2012 Hyper-V. And if I jump in here, I'll go to my desktop. I will find... Woo, hello. CCM, CM, application catalog, that's the one I want. And I'm going to say Firefox, install, yes I do. And all that's by touch, so even though that's a Silverlight application, and even though it's VDI, the Windows 8 remote desktop client, I think, supports up to 10 points of touch through it. So you can still swipe and do all that nice stuff from a touch-enabled machine. Now, this time it's going to download and take a look. And it's done. There's my Firefox. Fire it up. Now, the difference, you can see down the bottom we've got loading. That's because I'm on a VDI session. I really don't want my user to go installing MSIs on a VDI. Maybe I've got rollback. So even if they did, it wouldn't be any good to them anyway, because when they log off, it's gone. So not much point of that. But I still want them to have access to the application. So what I've done instead is said, if you are not logged into your primary device, as I'm not, you get an FV5 version of this application. And that's what's occurred. It's the same user experience. They've gone onto the application catalog, they've asked for this software that they're interested in, and a CCM does all the requirements checks and says, no, this is the one that you get. Now, one thing that I will show you, because it is quite cool, Let's go back to my application catalog, and I'm going to drop down Adobe Reader. Ooh, hello. Yes. Now, question, who has played around with AppV? Anyone? Yep. What's one of the awesome things about AppV? Okay, I'll tell you. When you sequence an application, it resides within its own memory space. Okay, that means it is isolated from the operating system. That means if there's a security issue or anything along those lines, it's isolated. Awesome. The downside is that those AppV applications are also isolated from each other. So if you have an application that maybe you want to use in conjunction with another one, and you've said, I'm going to virtualize, because that is the way of the future, you suddenly discover that they can't talk to each other unless you sequence them together, which sucks, quite frankly. You shouldn't have to do that. So what we can now do in AppV5, and SCCM fully supports this, is... I'm alone. Where's the PDF that I want? That one there. Now, I have sequenced Firefox and Adobe Reader separately. I should not be able to open up a PDF within Firefox. It is using... jump in here. It is using Adobe Reader to render that PDF within the browser. What I've done within SCCM is I have created an application connection group. Come on. You see, I've got my virtual apps. Application connection group. Come on, F5, F5, F5. Why is there no F5 on this keyboard? There should be. Yeah. That's okay. It is actually working, so let me just show you where it's actually configured. So what I have is, go into software library, application management, I have an AppV virtual environment. And what I've said in that virtual environment is I want the ability for the PDF reader, and I could have multiple versions of that PDF reader and a particular browser to be able to share virtual resources, share the virtual registry, share the virtual file system. So even though they have been sequenced independently, they can now talk to each other. From a user perspective, that's exactly what I want, because a user doesn't want to be prompted constantly to save the PDFs where they can open it locally. Yeah, that still works, but much nicer to have a browser interface. Yes, sir. The question is, do you have to go through every single version of every browser? Only if you've virtualized it. If you have virtualized every single version of every single browser, then and you want it to talk, yeah, sure. But bearing in mind that you can also script this. So SCCM is exposed now via PowerShell, so you can maintain a repository, if you like, of virtual environments within PowerShell. All right, so... let me get back over here. So that's a quick rundown on the application model. Okay, SCCM intelligently working out which type of application should be delivered how, why, and where. You've seen it across a traditional laptop type environment, and also now across the VDI on a Surface RT. So I'll hand back over to Peter now.
All right, thank you. What we're also able to do is extend the app model. Citrix, how many people of you use Citrix in their environment? Xen app, Xen desktop? Okay. Citrix created a Xen app connector for Config Manager. And out of the box, Config Manager is supplying a broad reach of support for operating systems and applications. But one of the downsides of that is that if you want to deploy an application for instance, Mac OS X or Android, you have to have a version of that application which must be able to run on that platform. What Citrix has done is through its Citrix Receiver, which is available on almost every device that's in the market. It allows to run applications that are hosted on a XenApp server. With a XenApp connector, we're able, as a config manager admin, to also manage those devices and to supply apps to those devices. So how does this work? From the config manager console, we're able to deploy and publish applications to the XenApp farm. And from there, through the receiver, users are able to subscribe to those applications and start them. So XenApp of Citrix also delivers a new kind of deployment type, a XenApp deployment type, which allows us to deploy XenApp applications to a user on a kiosk device or another device, depending on the environment where they are. And of course, the config manager admin can deliver any app to any device on any place. So that's our reach of config manager admins is very, very, very big.
In other words, we can get everywhere and reach everything.
We can reach out to every device.
Yeah.
So how does the app deployment workflow works? It's basically three steps. Let's, for instance, say James wants to have Adobe Acrobat on his device, but it must be delivered via XenApp. Sorry. Acrobat Reader is already installed and available in the config manager environment. So what we need to do is to add a deployment type and a publication to the application in config manager. Next step is to deploy the application to the XenApp farm. And the Citrix connector and the XenApp environment is working together to schedule the installation while there are, for instance, no users logged on. So when that's done, the user cannot access the application. So what we further need to do is to deploy the applications to the users. And based on the collection where you deploy the application to, all users that are in that collection have access to the application. So without touching the XenApp App Center, we now have deployed an application to the XenApp environment and made it available for the users. So what James is going to do is, in the kiosk PC, in the conference room, logs on the PC, logs on to the receiver, and subscribes to the go to the app catalog. That's the center for the users, where they can access the applications available through Config Manager. Subscribe to the application, and after that's done, a client agent is handling the request and firing up the receiver to get access to the application. So
this effectively means that your XenApp farm almost becomes like a middle tier extension, a service provider of SCCM.
Yeah, as a config admin, you do not need to have any knowledge of Citrix or how to configure it, how to maintain it. That's still done by the Citrix admins, but when you want to add an application, you don't need to go to the Citrix admin to deploy it. So you're able to do it yourself. So how does this look?
It's number one.
Let's go to the... Let's go to the same app that James has already deployed to his primary device and a Windows VDI. And you see we have already three deployment types. One MSI, one AppV version 5, and one AppV version 4. When we dig into the MSI, you see that the requirement rules are set to the primary device equals as true, so that was true. It was installed on James's primary device, and the operating system is only Windows 7. So when we go to the AppV version 5, which is also already been demoed, we see in the requirements that it's allowed to start.
I changed that, I'm sorry. Yes, for reasons that will become clear later on.
Okay. That's already changed. So, but it was started on Windows 8, so earlier Windows 8 was also enabled here. And for version 4, which we in this case only want to use on our ZenApp servers, ZenApp 6.5, it doesn't support any Windows 2012, so we only want to run it on a server 2008 R2 environment. So what we now need to do is to add a Citrix deployment type, and that's done easily by creating the deployment type, and that's basically the first step we talked about earlier.
Yeah, that's the downside of a, yeah, cool.
So we select the Citrix XenApp deployment type. You see there's a whole list of other deployment types we now also support with as of Config Manager 2012.
Actually, on that note, shameless plug, Peter and I are doing an SCCM plus Intune session tomorrow, and we will go into some of those mobile device options, so yep. iOS, Windows RT, Windows Phone, stuff like that. Tomorrow at 11, be there.
Yeah. So if we click next, we have to supply some basic information about the deployment type, so this is good. The next step is to create a publishing, which allows us to publish the same app to the ZenApp deploy of the ZenApp farm. So we select new. This is good. We place it in the administrator folder, config manager, and we select in this case the AppV version 4, because I already know that AppV version 4 is already installed on the ZenApp farm. So it will be available for us. It links it gets the information about the AppV version 4 package. We can change the icon if we need. We can place a shortcut on the desktop, publish immediately, or change some advanced settings. So all this for ZenApp administrators, all those settings will be familiar, but we don't need to dig into the ZenApp App Center. We can all do it from our central point, the Config Manager console. We can also enable content redirection, set limits, or enable disable audio, enable encryption. So let's finish this one. And we should have here the Citrix server also.
Oh, did we lose connectivity to that?
Missing an eye.
Let's take a look. There we go.
Are we freezing?
Yeah, we are. You wouldn't think it would be possible to lock up SSDs, but I've actually managed it.
For the third time this morning.
Yep. In my defense, this is running 2012 R2 preview. So
Why didn't you upgrade it to RTM?
Why didn't I upgrade it? Because it was released yesterday. That's why. And I've got 30 VMs on it. All right. That's going to get there at some point.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I wanted to show you, and I can hopefully show it you later, is that the application is now automatically published to the Zenapp farm and available for the users to which the application is deployed in the user collection. Oh, there it is. So let's see if we...
In my defense, those lockups are getting shorter and shorter every time.
Yeah, that's good.
You don't sound convinced.
So when we dig into the App Center, what you should normally wouldn't be needing to do this. The app isn't there yet. So hopefully it will come very soon. Otherwise we can...
It normally takes, was it a minute or two?
Yeah, a minute. Normally an app is published every 5 minutes by default. I lowered it a little bit, but might be the lockup. But we can start the process manually by starting the publishing task. Okay.
It does get there. It's the same issue I had had yesterday, so yeah, don't worry about it.
Might be. Okay.
Yep.
Can I just ask a question while we're waiting? Just about usage scenarios. So it looks like the config manager's got the ability to deliver these applications based on the type of device that you get. So whether it's an MSI or a web based end, Zen can do a similar thing. Are there different reasons why you would use one product or the other, or like, I mean, I guess it's good if you've already got an existing Zen infrastructure to interface with that. Are there scenarios where you might lean towards one as opposed to the other, or could you give us some advice on that?
Yeah. So I guess the main reason why you would want to use SCCM as a primary mechanism, it's not saying don't use Zenapp or Zen desktop. It's simply a case of saying because SCCM now has the ability to plug in to Zenapp, and because SCCM already has the existing management framework that allows you to deliver applications, what you can now do is make far more intelligent choices, which also incorporates your Zenapp infrastructure. So traditionally, from a management perspective, a lot of customers we have used both. You know, so they have SCCM for deployment and for management, software updates, application management of MSIs, maybe FV5, and then they have Zenapp for virtualization stuff, RDS for deploying to iPads, stuff along those lines. But at that point, you have two separate management frameworks. You've got your SCCM guys, you've got your Zenapp guys, unless, of course, you are both guys, which is also pretty common as well. But you have two management panes. What we can now do is move all of that into one and utilize a single pane of management and extend the application model within SCCM to incorporate Zenapp 2. Now, we are going to go through and show exactly how this fits into a VDI framework. So we've got our entire VDI set up here. So if you want application mobility, there we go, it's mobile. Look at that. I've just moved my entire farm. So we'll go through and show exactly how it all plugs in together.
Let's do that.
Yeah, all think. Right. Sure. So where are we up to? Application mobility. Okay, so this is what we've done in our environment. So essentially you've got your standard user, me. I have access to a number of device types, whether that's standard laptops, whether it's a slate like a Surface, whether I might be using Windows to go, and I will show that, or whether I'm using something like an iPad. I want a particular application, say Adobe Reader. I don't care how I get it. All I know is that I want it, regardless of where I log in, regardless of what I'm logging into. I want that application. So from a user perspective, it's all about seamless access to the applications that you want so that you can do your work. Fair enough. This does tie into the BYOD scenario as well, which are four little letters that cause so much pain. Actually, there was a really good cartoon of a guy who was saying, oh, well, I brought my own device, and it was like a 20-year-old server on a trolley, and he was wheeling it behind him. There we go, I want to use it. Now, what we've done in our environment, so the whole thing sits on Servo 2012 Hyper-V, all of it, and we have Xen Desktop 7, Xen App 6.5, we've got Servo 2012 VDI running Windows 8 machines. 8.1 has now just been released, not enterprise yet, so at the moment it's standard and pro. So we've left it on 8.1. And we've got SEVMM 2012 SP1 doing all the management and doing all the hooks into Xen Desktop. And also now SCCM 2012 handling all of the application management. So we've got agents out onto pretty much everything. It's baked into the VDI image. It's baked into the Xen Desktop image. We've also extended it with AppSense agents as well, so we can now do some very nice smarts around the user profile, regardless of which VDI platform they are logging onto. Okay, so because one of the limitations, you've got a VDI scenario in Xen, and you've got another one in Servo 2012 VDI. Well, they don't talk by default. Even if they're using the same image, if a user logs onto one and then goes and logs onto the other one, which is no reason why they shouldn't be able to do that, what are you going to do from a user profile perspective? If you hate them, you can use roaming profiles. Okay, if you hate your users, you can do that. Actually, that's a really good way. If anyone insults you in the coffee room, change their profile to a roaming profile. It's taking me a long time to log on. Yes, and until you apologize, it will continue to do so.
Play some exercises.
Yeah, exactly. And especially also now with Windows 8.1 and stuff like work folders, which is effectively, you know, SkyDrive sync for the enterprise, you can have that set up on your VDI, you can have that set up on your standard laptop image, on your slate image, and you've got the same content following that user around, regardless of where they're logging onto, even if it's in non-domain joined machine, it works fine, okay, as long as you've got ADFS. So let's just take a look. We don't have many slides, you'll be very pleased to know. In fact, our next slide after this is actually the Q&A. So what we wanted to do was just go through and sort of prove how all that is working. It's not just a case of, look, you click this application and it opens, yay. It is really a case of saying, yeah, but we're achieving this across multiple different platforms from multiple different devices, and the thing that is hooking it all together is SCCM. We can extend that management with Intune as well, okay, but the point is one place to manage everything, one place to do your apps, one place to rule them all. No, sorry. That's a New Zealand thing. Oh, geez, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, my bad. Cultural reference that I'm sure you're all tired of. All right. So what we might do So look, we have a couple of options. What do you want to see first? We can show, I've got a Windows to go environment running off an Iron Key, which could be worth a look, or we can jump straight into the iPad. That's, yeah, iPad. Don't all jump out at once. Who wants iPad? Hey, yeah, iPad. Okay. All right. Okie dokie. You fire up mirroring?
Mirroring on.
All right. You want to do this one?
Yep.
Cool. Actually, let me just move this over to hide all of the wonderful icons that I have.
Let's see where the receiver is.
Yep, go back, go to productivity.
Oh, yeah,
productivity group receiver.
So, like I was telling earlier, Citrix has done a very good job by creating receivers for almost every platform, which allows us to access our data center. And just by clicking on the Citrix receiver, I get access to, for instance, Adobe Acrobat Reader. I have to supply my password.
It's also worth pointing out that the receiver, yes, you can go to the App Store and access it, no problem. In this case, we actually deployed that through SCCM. Hmm? Oh,
yep.
You good?
Yep, I'm good. And now it's starting Adobe Acrobat. And there it is. So you're now able to open Adobe Acrobat files on your server. Oh, sorry for that.
Yep. Is that it? You good?
We're good. What did you miss?
Everything, I think.
Okay, let's head back. Thanks, Ken.
Maybe this time jump into the Zen desktop.
Yeah. I was shown on this device that you were able to fire up your Adobe Acrobat version from the Zen App server. What you also are able to do is firing up a Zen desktop Windows 8 VDI. So. I have to. Exactly. Yep, I'll log on. So it's now connecting to our big data center on the table. And here we have our Windows 8 device. So when I click Windows Visio, it should start in a bit.
And the main point is that for those of you who already have a Citrix environment, this might not be showing anything new. What is new is that all of this is being handled by a CCM in the background. Okay, so we delivered the Zen App receiver via a CCM in Intune. Mm-hmm. So that is a managed iPad. It's got an SCCM management profile on it. We're logging onto Zen Desktop because at the moment it's simply a better experience on iPad. So rather than have to force our users down one path or the other, there's a choice for the best experience. But now Peter is jumping into Visio, and that again is being delivered to our Zen environment by SCCM.
Yep. So let's leave this session open and we'll see what happens in the further demos.
Okay. So what I can do, let me just kick this across. So it's a little bit different.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we go. There we go. All right, so what I have here is a Samsung Series 7 slate, which only comes with Windows 8 Pro. I've changed it to Windows 8.1 just because I'm a masochist. And what I've actually fired it up is a Windows to go environment. So that's running off an Iron Key. I don't know if any of you have looked at Iron Keys. Shockproof, waterproof, drive over them with your car. The later versions, so there's another version which comes with, I think it's onboard managed encryption, in addition to the BitLocker stuff that you can do, and I think they're also bringing in a management layer which will integrate into a CCM. So you can actually manage the device directly through a CCM as a mobile device. Pretty nice.
So it's the Samsonite under the keys.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's titanium, the inanimate carbon rod. So what I've got is, so it's fired up. If I unplug it, which I can do, it's not going to do anything. It has actually frozen up. And when I plug that back in, it should say, don't do that again. That was really silly. It gives you, but then it just carries on as normal. Pretty cool. So this device, the base OS on this, is not a corporate image. It's not domain joined, nothing along those lines. So this is a really useful way for me to give my contractors, my consultants, maybe I work in a school with a BYOD environment. So rather than say, yes, bring your own and we will somehow endeavor to manage it while your parents scream at us over the phone, simply say, here is a key, your responsibility, you lose it, well, we'll give you another one. Let's not... You know we will, but we have to pretend that we won't. all right, so, and when I fire up, it is a standard corporate environment. I've got access to my application catalog. There's my devices. Now, this one is an interesting one. So with a CCM, I've got my Windows to go image, and I can actually get my users to self-provision it. Okay, so if your users have access to a corporate laptop, they want to be able to have a Windows to go environment with an appropriate stick, you can allow them to self-provision that. Here is a stick, away you go. It's in the application catalog. Pretty nice. So I've already gone through and requested some applications. There's Firefox. Now this is being delivered. Oh, two options. Yep. Nearly. So that is actually an app V version. So I didn't want MSIs dropping down on a Windows to go stick. If I was really worried about, there's my, and there's my application connection group that I wanted to show you earlier on. So basically exactly the same environment. From this environment, let's say I also wanted to VDI, so no reason that I shouldn't be able to.
So you're accessing now the RDS VDI?
Yep, I'm going to the RDS environment. This this box doesn't have a system dump.net RDS. Oh, okay. Never realized how stressful it was typing on a touchscreen when everyone can see you. Now there's my Windows 8 VDI that's available to me. If I click on that, I'm now connected. I want to open that. Yep, connect. And then, bang. It's the same one I was logged into last time. So it just picks it up, carried on, and I'm ready to go. I'm working. Now it should also, I hope, because it's... Maybe it's nice to me. Might have even dropped that connection. Okay, it didn't do that. What you get in a Windows 8 environment when you connect to a Server 2012 RDS session, it'll actually say, hey, would you like a shortcut to this? And you get a nice little modern UI icon, so you can just go bang straight in every time. And again, so we've now jumped from Zen Desktop to Server 2012 VDI, from IronKey to from Windows 8.1 to Windows 8, and again, SCCM is just under the hood handling everything at every step of the way. Now, you wanted to show the Visio on another device?
Yes. We have to switch back to one. Let's head back to admin 03. So what I'm now going to do is subscribe to the Visio version of Microsoft Visio 2010, install it, and based on the requirements and the environment it started on, it will be kicking off shortly the installation of the Zenapp deployment type. So it published the shortcut, and now it's connecting through the receiver to the Zenapp environment and takes over the session I left open on the iPad. So you're not only able to roam your session like James also showed, but go back to work when you're at home or in the train or whatever.
Because mobile internet's so awesome.
Okay.
All right, look, guys, that's what we have to show you today. So if we kick across, does anybody have any questions about any of the stuff that we've shown you today? Anyone? You all just waking up, you need your caffeine hit? Yeah.
So the only time you're using a local CPU is when you deploy MSI, right?
AppD as well. So, Peter, when you deploy an AppV application via Citrix receiver, mm-hmm. that is being processed on the Zenapp.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
So if you deploy, say, the traditional MSI, yeah, it's local. AppV5, AppV4 delivered by SCCM, it's local. Okay, but it's streamed down. So one of the main reasons why people like using AppV apart from the application isolation is that it makes updating really, really easy, because if you go through, update the package, and it drops down the changes, and that's it. So you've effectively patched your major application, and you're rolling out 10 meg instead of another 1 gig plus 10 meg. When it's done via the receiver, it's handled backend. So, and when you're logging onto a VDI environment and you're doing it there, you're using the CPU resources of the VDI server. So it depends. Yeah. Any other questions? Nope. All right. No problem.
All right.
Well, as I mentioned, Peter and I are presenting again tomorrow at 11 o'clock, I believe. SCCM in Intune.
11:55.
Sorry. Yep.